Okay. She started again. Okay, just very quickly. Tanu Rabban, Rabban learned. Second line from the top. Shleish Melachim aimed the three kings. If you see David HaMelech in a dream, you tap al-Chassid, you should anticipate righteousness. Shleim, if you see Shleim HaMelech in a dream, you tap al-Chachma, you should anticipate wisdom. Achav, if you see Achav in a dream, you dig him in a piranis, you should be afraid of punishment. Gimel Nevi'im aimed the three prophets. Horeya Sefer Melachim, if you see the book of Melachim, you tap al-Gdu, you should anticipate greatness. Yecheskel, if you see the book of Yecheskel, you tap al-Chachma, you should anticipate wisdom, like we said, because at the beginning of Yecheskel talks about the visions of God's throne. Yishai, if you see Yishai, you tap al-Nechom, you should anticipate consolation. Yirmi, if you see Yirmi, which talks about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Yidak min ha-Peronis, you should worry about retribution and punishment. Shleishik Suvim Gedalim, there's three big books. Horeya Sefer Tilim, if you see the book of Tilim in a dream, you tap al-Chassidus, you anticipate Chassidus. Mishle, if you see Mishle, is where we left off. Mishle, Proverbs, which is full of Shleim HaMelech, wisdom. You tap al-Chachma, you should anticipate wisdom. Iyuv, if you see the book of Job, which is full of punishment. Yidek min ha-Peronis, you should worry about retribution and punishment. Shleishik Suvim K'tanimim, there's three smaller books of writing that a Jew could see. If somebody sees Shir Hashirim, you tap al Chassidus. You should anticipate Chassidus because he speaks about in Shir Hashim the love between Hashem and the Jews, which is righteousness.
You see a pasuk or the whole book?
You see the book. Koheles, if you see Koheles, Ecclesiastes, you tap al Chochmah, you should anticipate wisdom because it's full of Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom. Kinnis, if you see the book of Eichel, Lamentations, you tap Yidek Min HaPeronis. You should see, be ready for retribution. Because again, Eichel talks about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Horeya Megillas Esther, if somebody sees Megillas Esther in a dream, the book of Esther, you should know Nes Nasale, a miracle is going to happen to you. Because that's what Esther is all about, miracles. Then the Gemara says, Shleisha Chachamim Heim. There's three chachamim that you can see in a dream. Horeya Rabbi Lebachalim, if you see Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, you know, the famous Rabbi Yehuda Anasi compiled Mishnah, Yitapa Lechachmi should anticipate wisdom, because Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was the biggest chacham in his generation. So if you see him, you're going to add chachma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, if you meet Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in a dream, Yitapa Lashidus, you should anticipate getting rich. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was so wealthy, that they bring down that his tithing of his calves annually was 12,000. 12,000 was his miser yearly. That means every year his farm produced 120,000 calves yearly. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was very wealthy, so if you see him in a dream, you're going to be rich. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, if somebody sees Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he was the famous Kohen Gadol in the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Yitzapa leperonis, you have to be afraid of heavenly retribution, because he was tortured to death, Rashi says, in the most cruel way. So if you see Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha in a dream, you should know that you're going to get punishments. Shleisha Tamirei Chachamim B'chalei. That's it. Until now, the Gemara is speaking about Shleisha Chachamim. Adult Chachamim. Now, Shleisha Tamirei Chachamim. Talmud Chacham. Why? Because these three people that he's going to mention now never got smicha. Like we know, Ben Azai, Ben Zayma. The names were really Shimon Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Zayma. What? Ordination. Ordained. Yeah. Not today's ordination, those days it was real stuff. So it says Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, one of the reasons why they're called the Ben Azai, the son of Azai, Ben Zoma, even though their name was Shimon Ben Azai, because they were young and they never became ordained. So that's why before the Gemara is talking about Shleisha Chachamim, they're talking about Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar Ben Azai, and the other people. Now we're talking about, we see three Talmud Chacham, it's like the students of Chachamim, younger. If you see Ben Azai in a dream, you can anticipate being pious. Because the Gemara says, He was one of the four that went into Pardes, you know, into the Kabbalistic, and he died. So if you see Ben Azai, he was a very righteous person. So therefore, you can anticipate you're going to become righteous. Ben Zayma, if you see Ben Zayma in a dream, Yitapa L'Chachm, you should anticipate wisdom. Why? Because Ben Zayma was also very, very brilliant. Acher, if you see Elisha ben Avuya, Elisha ben Avuya was the teacher of Rav Meir, who became an Apikeiris. And therefore they called him Acher, like the outside guy. So if you see Acher in a dream, Yidag min Aperonius, you should be afraid of retribution. Because again, Acher made a lot of problems for the Jews. Even though he's a very big scholar. And the Gemara says even he was a teacher of Rav Meir. It says even after he became an Apikeiris, Rav Meir was still learning from him. And they asked Rav Meir, how could you learn from an Apikeidus? He's an unbeliever. So Rav Meir says, I know how to eat the fruit and spit out the pits. And I know how to eat what's good, take what's good from him, take what's bad. And the Gemara tells a story that Acher was once going on a horse in Shabbos. Became completely non-frum. He was going on a horse in Shabbos, and Rav Meir was walking alongside him. And he was talking tater. Acher, riding a horse on Shabbos. So, after a certain period of time, Acher turned to Rav Meir and says, you have to turn back. Because according to the amount of steps my horse took, it's Tchum Shabbos already. It's the 2,000 Amos already outside the city that you're not allowed to walk anymore. So he tells Rav Meir, you go back, I'm going to keep going because I don't have to be religious. Yeah.
How much is that?
3,000 feet. Even according to the larger amount, it's 4,000 feet. It's still less than a mile. Yeah. But that's outside the past house. But anyway, we're not learning those dinim. Anyway, the Gemara says, "Kol mini chayis yofis l'chaleim." Any type of beasts that you see in a dream are good, except min apil, if you see an elephant, is no good. Hakeif is a monkey, it's no good. And akipud. Akipud in English is called a martin. A martin is like really, Rashi says it resembles a monkey, but a martin in our language is like if in the weasel family. Whatever. So the Gemara says, how can you say that these animals are bad? If you see an elephant, it's a bad sign. We said before, Horeya pil b'chalein, Pela nasale. The Gemara said before, if you see an elephant in a dream, it's wonders are going to happen to you. And here we're saying it's bad. So is an elephant good or bad? So the Gemara says, Leikash, it's not a question. So the Gemara says, Hod de misareg. In one case, it's speaking, when is it good? When the elephant was saddled. If the elephant was saddled for riding, then it's a good sign. But if the elephant wasn't saddled, then it's a bad sign. Then the Gemara says, all types of metal are good for a dream. Chutz, mimar, pesel, vekardum. Except a hoe, a matak is a digging tool, and an axe. So you see, metal is good in a dream, except these things, three things. But the Gemara says, Hani Mili, this only applies the chaz in a bikatayu. When the dreamer sees the blades in the handles, then they're bad. But otherwise, it's good. Then the Gemara says, Kom in a peiris yofen lechalein. Every type of fruit you see in a dream is good. Chut me pagi tamara. Except unripe dates. Unripe dates are no good. Because the Gemara is going to say later that these are one of the few fruits that you gain no benefit out of. It just doesn't do anything for you. Komine yirakis, all types of vegetables, yaf and lechalem are good for a dream. Chutz mirashi lefrosis, except turnip tops. Those are not good. So the Gemara says, how do you say turnip tops are no good? For Amar Rav, Rav said, leyitari, I didn't get rich. Until I saw the tops of turnips in a dream. Rav wasn't rich. And one time he had a dream that he saw the tops of turnips and he became rich. So the Gemara says, how could you say that tops of turnips are bad when Rav said he became rich from it? So the Gemara says, no. Kichaze, when did Rav see the turnips that made him rich? That's Bichanayel Chaze. When he saw them still on their stems, then it's a good sign. But if they're detached from the stem, then it's a bad sign. Then the Gemara says, Kol mini tzveinim yofa l'chaleim. All types of colors are good for a dream. Chutz min ha-tchelik, except the color of tchelis, you know, the blue wool that they have on the tzitzis. Kol mini... Huh? Yeah. Rashi says, what's wrong with tchelis in a dream? Because tchelis is bluish-green. And when the body turns green, it's a sign of illness. So it's a bad sign in a dream. Yeah, this is a good, but not that color of tchelis in a dream. Who knows? The Gemara is supposed to be finished with this. The Gemara is almost done with the dreams. Then the Gemara says, Komini tzeveinim yofen l'chaleim. All types of color, I'm sorry. Komini eifetz yofen l'chaleim. All types of birds are good in a dream. Chutz. Min karya kifufa v'kurproi. Karya kifufa and kurproi, he says over here, these are various types of owls that the cheeks resemble a human. And he gives a whole explanation, whatever. Then the Gemara says, Haguf, mayim eshivim archivim simen. This is an interesting concept. We learned this a few times. The Gemara used to give symbols and signs to remember things. Like when you want to memorize something, you know, you make an acronym in your head and then it's easier to remember it. So because the Gemara, everything was oral, the Gemara used to give a lot of signs for the upcoming Gemara. So the Gemara gave a sign, Guf, Guf, Mayim, Meshivim, Archivim. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean? Okay, it means the body, assemblance, restore, broaden. Okay. This is not about dreams anymore. This is going back now. Meanwhile, Shleisha nichnosim leguf, there are three things that enter the body, ve'ein aguf nana mehem, and the body doesn't benefit from it. In other words, it may taste good, but the body doesn't gain anything from it. What are they? Good godinius, cherries, v'chafnius, and in not such good dates, the pagit mud and unripe dates. It means if you eat cherries, the Gemara says you don't gain anything by it for the body. Shleisha ein nechnasim leguf. There's three things that don't go into the body. Vaguf nenemem, the body benefits from it. Who is, what are the things? Rechitza, washing. Smicha, smearing yourself with oils. And tashmish. Now, the Gemara doesn't know what tashmish is. The assumption now is it refers to marital relations. The Gemara is not going to remain with that. But the Gemara says washing, anointing, and marital relations are good for the body, even though they don't enter the body. Then the Gemara says, Shloisha me'ein olam haba. There's three things that you enjoy a little bit like olam haba. What are they? Shabbos, Shemesh, and Tashmish. Shabbos, the sun, sunshine, and Tashmish. But again, we don't know what Tashmish is. So the Gemara asks, Tashmish demai. What Tashmish are we talking about? Ilei me Tashmish amita, if we're talking about marital relations, ha-mikrish kochish. It means that the Gemara says in a different place, it weakens you. So how can you say it's like olam haba and it benefits the body if it weakens you? So the Gemara says, what it means is Tashmish nekovim. It means going to the bathroom. Not marital relations, but relieving oneself is similar to olam haba. Shleisha meshiv in daita shel adam. Three things restore the person's mind. What are they? Kol, a nice sound. Mare, a good sight. Vereach, and a good smell. And it's interesting. Rashi says, what does kol mean? Either the voice of an instrument, a nice musical instrument, or a woman singing. Which al-Pidin is not allowed for a man to hear a woman sing. But the Gemara says, a woman singing restores your mind. Then the Gemara says, this is what we mentioned yesterday, the Fabrang and Shleishim Achivim Daita Shalodim. Three things broaden the person's mind. Meaning, it opens up his mind. What are they? Dira Na, a beautiful house. Isha Na, a beautiful wife. Vekelim Noim, and beautiful furnishings. These three things broaden the mind of a person. Yeah. It makes you think straight. That's what the book says. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Chamisha, Shisha, Asara. 5, 6, and 10. This is again a sign to remember the next piece of Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows. Chamisha, Echad, Mishishim. This is a very interesting Gemara. There's five things. There are a 60th of something else. Okay, the Gemara explains. Eish, fire. The Gemara is going to explain each one. Eish, devash, Shabbos, vishena. Fire, honey, Shabbos, and sleep, and a chalem, and a dream. These five are a 60th of something else. So the Gemara says, what does it mean it's the 60th of something else? Eish, echad mishishim legehenim. Fire is a 60th of Gehenim. Basically, the Ramban writes in his Agdama of Iyuv that the hottest fire in this world is only a 60th of the fire of Gehenim. Okay? Devash, honey, the taste of honey, which is very sweet. Echad mishishim l'man is only a 60th of the taste of the man in the desert. That means the man tasted 60 times better than honey. Shabbos, Echad Mishishim L'Olam Haba. Shabbos is the 60th of Olam Haba, in the enjoyment of Shabbos. Shena, Echad Mishishim L'Misa. Sleep is the 60th of death. This is where this everybody knows, this Gemara, that sleep is the 60th of death. Chalem, Echad Mishishim L'Nevuah. A dream is the 60th of prophecy. That means every dream is a prophecy, but it's only a 60th of prophecy. Because, by the way, why do you have to, when you get up in the morning, you have to wash your hands? One of the reasons for that is because sleep is the 60th of death, so it's a form of impurity. Okay. Shisha Dvarim Simen Yafa L'Chayla. Six things the Gemara says are a good sign for a sick person. It means it's a healthy sign for a sick person. Ve'elo, and these are them. Itush, sneezing. Zeya, perspiration. Shulshul, a loose bowel movement. Kari, a seminal discharge. And Shena, sleep. Bechaleim, in a dream. These six things are good for a sick person. So the Gemara is going to quote, how do we know these things are good for a sick person? So the Gemara says, Itush, how do I know sneezing is good? Because it says, Itesheisav tohel erd. His sneezes flash light, and light refers to good health. Zayah, how do we know perspiration, sweating is good? In fact, they don't do it nowadays. In the olden days, if you wanted to get rid of fever, you sweat, and the sweat removes the fever. Zayah tapecha toich alechem, because it says, with the sweat of your brow, you should eat food. Shul shul dechsev, how do we know a loose bowel movement is good? Because it says, Mir tzeli paseach, that a person who hastens himself to be released, meaning going to the bathroom, lo yamas l'shachas, he will not die in the pit. Kari dechsev, how do we know seminal discharge is good for a person? Because it says, Yirazere yarech yamim, he will see seed to live long. Shena dechsev, how do we know sleep is good? Because it says, Yashanti, when I sleep, az yanuachli, then I'll be at rest. Chalein, how do I know a dream is good? Because it says, "Vatachli meini," when you make me dream, "Vachayeni," you give me life. So you see, all these things are good for a sick person. Huh? The Gemara doesn't explain how. The Gemara just says that it the quote of Pasuk that says, "If you do it, you see long life." Doesn't say here why. Then the Gemara says, Shish dvarim merapim esachela mechayev. 6 things cure a sick person from his illness. Urafuasi rafua. And his healing is a complete healing. You know, sometimes you get healed and the illness comes back. These 6 things heal you and keep you healed. What are they? Elohein. Kruv cabbage. Trodden beets. Vesisin yaveshim. Dried pennyroyal. That is, I don't know. Whatever a pennyroyal is. Bekev, an animal stomach. Vehadis, an animal's womb. Vyaseris, a kaved, an animal's diaphragm. Vyashemrim, avdogim, ketanim, also small fish. Vulay aid, and not only do small fish cure a sick person, elashodogim, ketanim, the small fish, mafrin, umavrin, kogufish, shalodim, make fruitful and strengthen a man's entire body. By the way, it's questionable in Halach, and Shulchan Aruch discusses, and the Rambam, the commentaries of the Rambam discuss, all these things, if the Gemara talks about medical things, it doesn't necessarily apply today. Because the body's changed. We're biologically not the same makeup we used to be in the time of the Gemara. So there are many things that were good in the time of the Gemara that are not necessarily good now, and certain things that were not good then that are good now. That we said, remember the small fish. Yeah. Yeah, right. That they cooked the fish with the water. Yeah. Asarad dvarin, 10 things. Machzinin azacheda l'cholyov. Make a person, it brings him back to his sick illness. V'chal yukashin, the illness is more severe than it was before. V'heilein, these are the 10 things. And you'll see, v'heichu basa shad, if you eat axe meat, Basis shamein, if you eat fatty meat, basitzli, roasted meat, here goes all the barbecues, basitziparim, poultry, beitzitzli, a roasted egg, v'tegalachas, and shaving your hair, v'shachalayim, one who eats cress, v'acholav, and milk, v'agvin, or cheese, v'amerchots, and bathing. All these things make you sicker than before. Some people say also nuts make you sick. And some people say afkishrim, even cucumbers. So all these things are bad. So the Gemara asks, Aini, it's not true. Look, see, if it says in the Pasuk, the Gemara is going to prove that cucumbers are good. Cucumbers are good. Why? There's an interesting, this is a very famous Gemara. Baksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayemer Hashem lo, if you remember in Chumash, Rivka finally got pregnant, Yitzchak's wife, Rivka got pregnant, and she was having a lot of problems in the pregnancy. Like we know, when she went into Pastor Yeshiva, she got a kick. She walked by a place of Avodah Zarah, she got kicked. So she couldn't imagine what's going on in her stomach. Is this kid good or bad? So she went to ask Hashem what's going, and Hashem told her, you're going to have 2 goyim bevitnech. So in Chumash, it says, Shnei goyim bevitnech, there are 2 nations in your womb. So the Gemara says, don't read it, goyim, ele geyim, proud ones. You're going to have 2 proud ones in your stomach, meaning very aristocratic people, 2 aristocratic people are going to come out from you. Who are they? Amir Abiyud Amir Av, Ela Taninis V'Rebi. This refers to Antoninus, who is, by the way, there was a Roman emperor called Antoninus, and Rabbi Yudah Anasi, Shlei Pasik Meshulchanim, that had never stopped from the table. They were so rich and so wealthy that they always had Tznein V'Chazeres V'Kishuin. It never lacked from the table, not radishes, not horseradish, not cucumbers, not in the winter, not in the summer. So there's 2 ways of learning here this Gemara. One way of learning the Gemara is these things, because what's so expensive about them? So one way of learning is that he gave the people so much food, they needed these things to help digest the food. Or another opinion is that these were very expensive seasonal foods they can only get in certain seasons, and yet Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Antoninus had it the whole time. Antoninus and Rabbi, we mentioned a few times already, Antoninus and Rabbi, he was a Roman emperor, he was the leader of the Jewish people, but they were very, very good friends. We mentioned the story from the time they were born, Rabbi and Antoninus were very close friends. Antoninus as a baby, a few days old, saved Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's life. There's a famous story, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was born, there was a decree of the Romans that you're not allowed to do circumcision. And Rabbi's father, obviously he's not going to not do a bris, so he did a bris in Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And somebody snitched to the Roman emperor that this kid, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was circumcised. So the king ordered that the mother and baby should be brought to the palace, and if he's circumcised, he's going to kill the kid. So the mother had no choice. She had to take the baby to the palace, to the Roman emperor. Along the way, she stopped at an inn. And there was another lady there who also just gave birth to a kid whose name was Antoninus. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's mother was crying. So this lady, Antoninus' mother, said to her, "Why are you crying?" She said, "I'll tell you the truth. I'm a Jewish woman. I circumcised my kid. And the Roman emperor wants to kill my baby." So Antoninus' mother had mercy on Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's mother. And she said to her, "Listen, let's switch babies. You take my baby, who's not circumcised, bring him to the palace. You show him, the king, that he's not circumcised. He'll let you go, and I'll nurse your baby, you'll nurse my baby, whatever, and, you know, we'll fix it up." So that's what they did. And when the emperor saw that the baby, so to speak, was not circumcised, he killed the snitcher. Because basically the snitcher made fun of him. So since then, the two mothers became very close friends. And Antoninus and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi grew up together. He became the Roman emperor, and he became Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And the Gemara says that according to certain opinions, they were very, very wealthy. They built an underground tunnel between their houses. And in the middle of the night, Antoninus used to go to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi to learn. As the emperor, he used to go in the middle of the night to learn with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And there are opinions that say Antoninus eventually converted to that extent. Anyways, huh? Good story. So it says, so what do you see from here? Here the Gemara just got to be saying cucumbers are bad, and yet Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Antoninus, what was their pride that they had cucumbers? So how could you think cucumbers are bad? So the Gemara says, like Kasha. If the cucumbers are large, then it's a bad sign. But if they're small ones, bezutre, if they're small ones, it's a good sign. For whatever reason. Then, before the Gemara was saying, no, we're not speaking about the dreams anymore. We left the dreams for a while. Now the Gemara is going to go back to the dreams. But the Gemara says eating cucumbers are bad. So the Gemara says, I had Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, had it, and it was one of his delicacies, so to speak. So the Gemara says, it depends if they're big or small. If they're small, they're good. If they're big, they're no good. We see the same thing with the fish. Little fish are good. Big fish are not so good. Whatever. Then the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is going back to dreams. Mes babayis, if somebody dreams there's a corpse in the house, shalom babayis, there's going to be peace in the house. Achol v'shasa babayis, if somebody dreams that they ate and drank in the house, simen yafa labayis, it's a good sign for the house. Not okelim in abayis, if somebody took away the vessels from the house, simen ra labayis, it's a bad sign for the house because things are being taken away. Tigma Rav Papa interpreted to explain. Bimisana visandala. When is it bad? By the way, it's speaking according to the Gemara here that the corpse took away the things from the house. But that's only if he took away or a shoe of a, and a sandal. Why? Because they called the shakal shiv chamale. Because the Gemara of Papa said, anything a corpse takes away from a house is a favorable sign. Bar mi misana v'sandala. Except a shoe or a sandal. That's not good. So Rashi explains why. Because shoes mean people leave. You go, you walk. So if you dreamt that the corpse took shoes, it means he's taken with them other people. Upstairs.
That's probably why
a person has whispered. One second, I'm going to explain this in a second. Called the Yoav, anything a corpse puts into a house is favorable, except dirt and mustard. Because dirt, Rashi explains, alludes to burial, and mustard also alludes to bitterness and death, whatever. There is, interestingly, from Rabbi Yudah Chosid, by the way, this is not halacha, but it's from Rabbi Yudah Chosid, and everybody keeps this. The clothing of a deceased person, other people can take, except the shoes. Rabbi Yudah Chosid says, if you take and wear the shoes of a dead person, it's a bad sign. And it's probably based on this Gemara. Because the Gemara says, if the corpse takes shoes from the house, it's a bad sign. So that's probably the source of it. Rabbi Yudah Chosid says that you should never wear the shoes of a dead person. Throw them out. Or maybe you can give it to somebody you don't care if they die. But it says the minig is not. All the other clothes you could wear. But I thought somebody wanted to say something. Okay. Well, if they're shoes of a living person, it doesn't matter. Usually they die, yeah? Is that halachically forbidden? No. I mean, if Yudah Chosid says it's a sakana to do it. Huh? Tend to the West Bank. But you know, it's interesting. You know, Rabbi Yudah Chosid also says, it's a few interesting things about shoes. Rabbi Yudah Chosid says, you're not supposed to polish your shoes. And this is a minhag that people keep, by the way. You don't polish your shoes the day you go on a trip. Rabbi Yudah Chosid said, it's one of Savos Rabbi Yudah Chosid. Rabbi Yudah Chosid left over a will, it's called the Tzavah, the will of Rabbi Yudah Chosid. There's a big argument in Poskim if he meant it only for his immediate family or he meant it b'chlal. For instance, to give you some famous examples of what we know from Rabbi Yudah Chosid, according to Rabbi Yudah Chosid, you're not allowed to take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. But on Shechnach, you don't take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh, even if it's Erev Shabbos. Even if it's Erev Shabbos, so the covered Shabbos, you take a haircut. On Rosh Chodesh, you don't take a haircut, it's dangerous. That's what Rabbi Yudah Chosid said. Rabbi Yudah Chosid said, I'm just saying the famous ones that he said. Rabbi Yudah Chosid said that if a person, you shouldn't polish your shoes on the day if you go to a journey, it's a dangerous thing. Rabbi Yudah Chosid says, you don't close up a window. You don't close up permanently a window.
Like
yeah, there's a way though you could do it that even Rabbi Yudah Chosid would agree with. In the Sefer Chassidim, it's called Rabbi Yudah Chosid wrote a Sefer called Sefer Chassidim. Rabbi Yudah Chosid was from the Rishonim. At the end of his Sefer and Sefer Chassidim is a whole thing of Tzavos. It's a few pages of Rabbi Yudah Chosid's Tzavos. Many of the things we keep, some of the things we don't keep, for whatever traditional reasons they are. So Rabbi Yudah Chosid about shoes, like I told you, you don't wear shoes of a dead person. You don't polish your shoes on the day you go on a trip. Huh? No haircut, Rosh Chodesh. Yeah. The Alter Rebbe brings it down in Shulchan Aruch. In the dinim of Erev Shabbos, when he speaks about you have to cut your nails and take a haircut and all that. So the Alter Rebbe says, Rabbi Yudah Chosid says, you don't take a haircut. And there's, no. In the original text, Rabbi Yudah Chosid also says, you don't cut nails on Rosh Chodesh. But that the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring down. So the question is, does that mean that we do or that we don't do? That question in halacha.